Kind enough to join me live this morning, good friend of ours here on the show, and that is Dr. Carl Kalten Thaler, and again, the director of the Michael J. Morrell Center for Intelligence and Security Studies at the University of Akron, professor of political science. And I reached out to Carl to talk more about these strange bedfellows, Donald Trump, the United States, and Vladimir Putin. Or maybe it isn't so strange when you look at those two in the history, but for us and the rest of the world, it's puzzling. And Carl, talk about where we are and how this has developed in the world right now. And I mean the world, really, kind of in a state of shock when they look at the about face by the United States.
Well, first of all, Ray, thanks for having me. Really, really important topic. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the world is shocked by this. A good chunk of the world is very, very worried about this. And I think a lot of us in the United States, particularly those of us who've been involved in national security for a long time, are very shocked and a bit worried about this, because it seems like we're going through a major realignment in terms of who our friends and who our foes are in the world. And this could have some pretty profound impacts on us in the weeks, months, and even years to come. So we'll see how far this actually goes. But if you follow what the Trump administration has been saying since they've come into office, it seems very much like they're turning away from Europe and turning towards China. So we kind of expected that to come, but we didn't expect it to be so much of a just complete divorce. You know, we thought, okay, maybe Europe wouldn't get the attention that it was getting in the past. But we seem to be telling the Europeans, you're on your own. Not only that, though, we're aligning with Russia. And that is the biggest impact here, I think, for everyone, is that it seems like this administration has decided that the United States is better off aligning with Russia than it is aligning with our European allies. And so some people think, and I think this might be actually accurate, is the thought that China is the biggest threat to the United States, so align with Russia in a kind of anti-Chinese alliance. Well, that's based on a very big premise that Russia will be willing to go along with the United States to align against China. I don't think that's a given. I think, in fact, it's most likely not going to happen that way. If anything, I think the Russians will string us along, get what they want from us, particularly get the deal that they want from Ukraine, and then continue on with the relationship they have with China. It's not in their interest to create an antagonistic relationship with China. It's also not in China's interest to have an antagonistic relation with Russia. They share a very long border. These countries are next to each other. If they become enemies, it's extremely detrimental to their security. It just doesn't make sense that they would all of a sudden turn on each other.
You know, Carl, and I am one that is in that camp of what you just had, and you kind of stole my second question, but you and I have talked enough. That. You knew where I was probably going to go, but, you know, President Trump has certainly had his finger aimed at China for quite some time, and I keep going back that he's really trying to form this alliance with Russia to stick it to China a little bit. But I think you're exactly right that, you know, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. Russia and China are going to continue to have their relationship. So talk about where talks have gone between the United States and Russia, and to a degree, if nothing, with the Ukraine about a proposed deal, and Zelensky might be coming to the United States for minerals. Talk about this story from what you know.
Well, the minerals deal is really not very consequential. It doesn't really address most of the big issues that really need to be addressed. I think initially the Ukrainians thought that if they signed off on this minerals deal, that it would secure some guarantees from the United States for their security, and it just doesn't seem to be the case. In fact, some of the things that have been said in the early days of the negotiations between the United States and the Russians, which, as you know, are excluding the Ukrainians and excluding the Europeans, some of the things that have been said seem to indicate that the United States is willing to give Russia a good deal of what they want. And it's not just land that the Russians have taken from Ukraine. The Russians want, to a great degree, some control over Ukrainian sovereignty. So what this would mean is that Ukraine, if the Russians get the deal that they want, and the United States has brought up this specific deal, it's referred to as the Istanbul Protocol. If that is actually the deal that gets cut, that would mean that Ukraine would essentially be a vassal state or a satellite state of Russia, where Russia would essentially control everything that happened in Ukraine. So they would for all intents and purposes, really stop being a state that controlled its own destiny. So clearly that's not something Ukrainians want. They wouldn't agree to it. You can't force it on the Ukrainians. If the United States says, okay, you either take this deal, we're going to cut off aid, the Ukrainians will say, okay, cut off aid. We'll have to find some other sources of help, or we're going to continue to fight on. We're not going to allow ourselves to become, you know, essentially a part of Russia.
With us is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler with the University of Akron, professor of political science. So we got that story, and then the tentacles are still out there in regards to the Gaza Strip. And this is even more concerning when we look at this situation. So, Carl, jump into that for us.
So there's two schools of thought on this, and I'm really not sure which one's correct. One school of thought is that what Trump says is exactly what Trump means, that he wants to expel the Palestinians out of the Gaza Strip and essentially hand it to the Israelis. You know, we would own it. The Israelis would somehow police it or whatever, because we're not supposed to have any troops there. If you own territory, someone has to, you know, mind the shop, so to speak. So I guess it would be the Israelis, and then there would be development there to turn it into kind of a resort. So the first school of thought is that's exactly what Trump wants to happen. The other school of thought is that Trump is trying to force Arab countries to take responsibility for the Gaza Strip, because they don't want the Palestinians expelled. They very much don't want the Palestinians forced into their country. And so the countries that have most to lose from this would be Egypt and Jordan, because they would be the countries that would most likely get the Palestinians. And so we just saw in the last couple of days the Egyptians come up with a plan to kind of give a way forward for how this would work. So the Egyptians would essentially get control. It wouldn't become part of Egypt, but they'd get control over the Gaza Strip, and then there would be money that would come from the international community that would fund this. Hamas would be disarmed, and Gaza would essentially be turned into a big refugee camp for the Palestinians who live there, because everything is demolished. But over time, it would be rebuilt, and in a matter of years, the Palestinian Authority would come and rule Gaza. So Hamas would be out of the question, or out of the equation. They would no longer have any power. They would no longer have weapons. This is also a little bit of a fantastical plan, if you think about it, that Hamas is going to simply go away. You know, Hamas is still there. It still has weapons. They would fight this plan. They wouldn't just lie down and say, okay, we agree to this. It's also a question of whether the Egyptians would be able to get the international money to do this. Egypt is not a rich country. They can't afford this on their own. So this plan is less, out of the box thinking than the Trump plan, but it's still also a bit unlikely to happen.
Carl, my final question for you, and this has to do with the UN vote the other day. And, of course, the United States didn't side with their European allies pertaining to Russia and their force of the war with the Ukraine now in its third year. As of this month, how concerning is it for these European countries? What is their concern level is probably the proper question when you talk about Germany and France really talking directly to President Trump, with Russia there at the east and the worry about an invasion there. that has been kind of pushed back since World War II because the United States, they knew, always had their back.
It's very, very concerning. The Europeans are very worried. They're worried for a couple of reasons. One, the United States is a very important partner for them. And the United States seems to be, under this administration, becoming, to a degree, hostile towards the Europeans. And this is a problem because there's a lot of trade. There's a lot of ties between Europe and the United States. And so even if Trump wasn't turning towards Russia, it would still be worrying for the Europeans that Trump seems to be turning against the Europeans. But it's kind of both, right? So Trump seems to be turning towards Russia, and these European countries now have to scramble to basically rearm to defend themselves from a potential Russian invasion. Now, one of the things that people don't seem to realize in this equation, when people think, you know, the Germans haven't armed themselves sufficiently, they're just, you know, piggybacking off the United States. There's a reason why a country like Germany has not armed itself as much as it could. Part of it is domestic politics. There's no stomach in Germany for a big German army, given the history of German army in the country. Think World War II, World War I. The other thing is that Germany's neighbors know that it would fear Germany if Germany became a major military power. You know, people have not forgotten the history of Europe. And, you know, there are still forces in Germany that are not exactly what I'd call those who are super in favor of democracy or other countries' rights. The Alternative for Germany, for example, part of that party, which is a kind of right-wing populist party, is pretty close to fascism. And so it's very worrying to not only other Germans, but to the rest of Europe, that you've got this resurgence of the far right in Germany, and then, oh, now Germany's going to rearm substantially. This could be potentially very destabilizing for Europe.
Very interesting. Carl, great insight, my friend. Thank you for delivering with us here in the morning show. Always appreciate you taking time for us, my friend. Thanks again.
Absolutely. My pleasure.